This is a CBC podcast.
CBC podcasts are supported by HP Print Studio. Express your brand with HP Print Studio. Find free, customized templates to build your business identity, like letterhead, business cards, and shipping labels. Start the journey at www.hp.ca/print.
Still out west, Patrick Tracy is on the line from Edmonton. And Patrick, you're a police officer, is that right?
Yeah, and I also have to say, I have a weekly talk show a couple hours a week, and you're doing a fantastic job.
Oh my goodness! You know what? I'm so nervous, Patrick. I've never done this show before. I didn't know which button to hit. I came in here. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a goof.
And you've
just made my day, Patrick.
I'm a single dad to a chap who's just about to be 13. He's one of the finest people I've ever known, and that
has
a lot to do with the input from mom as well along the way. So he's, you know, it's not just me. But I've got to say, what I've found in 15 years of policing is that Canadians, Edmontonians, people in general have a real problem with the optics of the use of force, first off. So I think we need to own that as a culture. We're not comfortable with the optics of somebody who has authority to use force using it, whether it's a cop or a parent. Now, having said that, I don't spank my child. I've not been a spank, and I wasn't spanked growing up, and I'm 52. My concern, though, is this going to possibly criminalize a group of people, much like, you know, perhaps the much aligned gun registry maybe did or didn't. But is it going to criminalize someone, and is it somebody sitting from such an antiseptic and objective, overly objective chair, making a rule that is it enforceable, and is it going to criminalize people? Have you ever heard of Section 172 of the Criminal Code of Corruption of Children?
You're going to tell me.
Well, this is interesting. This is everyone who is in the home of a child participates in adultery, sexual immorality, or indulges in habitual drunkenness or any other form of vice, thereby endangers the morals of a child. And in the code here, child is 18 or under.
Wow.
So nobody gets arrested for that. So,
right.
And that's in the criminal code. So are we going to just go through a bunch of hoops to put something in the criminal code that will, as I said, A, how is it going to be enforced, and B, are we going to criminalize a group of parents who are trying to do their best?
Yeah, in tough situations in some cases. Patrick, I'm wondering what this means for your job as a police officer. Is there concern on your part that if this bill is passed in the House, and we won't know certainly until it's debated in the fall, that you will get calls from teenagers who are now emboldened by this, from, you know, parents who are concerned about what their actions mean or what their possible actions could lead to?
Sure, and we already have. I've already gotten calls over the years because a lot of young people are under the impression already, much like a lot of them are under the impression that they can smoke weed legally, they're under the impression that their parents can't touch them.
Yeah.
And so that's been the impression. So if this comes in, we will get those calls. And, I mean, the upside of it is everyone's just going to have to be a whole lot more creative in dealing with the scenario. But the downside of it is, and I think some of my colleagues in other disciplines, I think there's a group home chap that called and somebody else that called, he made a good statement. It's going to create a generation, possibly, of people who are going to be saying, "You can't touch me."
Yeah.
And I'm sensitive to the fact that, yeah, when we touch somebody, that's, you're crossing a boundary. But again, in the criminal code, Section 266 says you don't even have to touch someone in order to assault them to satisfy the conditions. So the code already has conditions in place if you want to enforce these things. And I'm just kind of wondering what the political agenda is behind this particular person saying we need to do this. I teach regularly groups of immigrants that come to Edmonton about familiarizing themselves with our culture, with the policing culture. And I get asked regularly, can we hit or strike our parents?
Really?
Not our parents, but our children
and
or our partner.
Hmm.
So it's, I mean, I think you had a guest previously who was kind of...
What do you say to that? When you're asked that question?
Well, I say that, first off, you can't strike your partner, your husband, your wife, your partner. You can't strike them. It's against the law. But I also ask them why they ask the question.
What do you say when they ask about striking their kid, though? That's what I'm interested
in. Well, what I say is that our laws here say that you can strike them to correct their behavior if they're doing something. Now, that's my interpretation, of course.
It is. At this point, it is. You can use reasonable force
corrective discipline. But, I mean, it's like when I've gone into calls, whether it's immigrant families or people that have been here for whatever, I always say, like, if this is something you have to be continually doing, you need as a family, and if we can help with police or social services, reevaluate this. I worked in our child abuse unit as well, and I need to tell you and your listeners, it takes actually an awful lot for the state to actually go into a home and say, this child's coming out. And when they do that, at least in our jurisdiction, we go to great gains to make sure that child is reunited with that family as soon as possible.
I think it's great that you called. I know you do. You were talking about this work you do with the immigrant community in Edmonton. I think that's great, and you'll be watching as we will be.
Yep.
By the way, good luck with your own show. And again, you did make my day.
Okay, all right. Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Okay, then. Take care of that.
Patrick and I have this very close relationship. Bye, Patrick. I'm Suhanna Marchand, by the way. Yes, you might say it's not Rex, and you're right. I am a bit more goofy, but that's okay. I'm clean with that. You're listening to Cross Country Checkup. Our topic today, does the state have a role in raising children? What are the limits? Who should decide? I mean, there are so many questions on this. It is a very complex discussion. But is child rearing something that can be easily defined with strict limits, with guidelines? Or, because it is so complex, does it demand flexibility of judgment? Do some parents, in fact, need limits while others do not? Lots of questions. I'd love to hear from you, so give us a call, 1-888-416-8333. Our next guest is Joan Durant. She is a child clinical psychologist and associate professor of family social services at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg. She is the author of numerous books, including What's Wrong with Spanking, published by the Canadian Departments of Justice and Health, and she's in Winnipeg. Joan, hello to you.
Hello.
You've written the book on it, so let me ask the question. What is wrong with spanking?
Well, you know, that's really one of the key questions, and that was the question that got me started in working on this issue about 20 years ago. As a psychologist, I was asked, you know, is it okay to spank my child? If I spank my child, will I scar him for life? Or if I don't spank my child, will he become a delinquent? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know the answer. So I went to the research, because that's my job, and that's where we find more objective answers that go beyond anecdote. You know, personal experience can say one thing, but when we look at things on a population level, we sometimes see something, the picture becomes clearer. So what we find from studies that have been conducted over the last several decades, there are more than 100 studies now, that show consistently to a level of consistency that is rarely seen in social science research, that physical punishment actually is linked to more negative outcomes for children. Now, you know, many parents will say, well, when my child goes to touch the hot stove and I slap his hand, he stops touching the stove. And that may well be the case. But what the parent might not be aware of is that if they keep doing that over time and that becomes, you know, a frequent response, then what happens over the long term is that the child actually, their behavior worsens, and they begin to be resentful of the parent. They become less trusting of the parent, so the relationship begins to erode. And over time, the child becomes hostile, and as a result, can become more aggressive. Doesn't mean that every child who's ever slapped becomes aggressive or violent. That's mm-hmm. not the case, but it certainly is a risk factor, and it raises the probability that children will actually have more behavioral difficulties.
But when you talk about, Joan, when you talk about spanking a child's hand for putting it near a hot stove, is there spanking, any form of spanking, that is okay to use as discipline that is not abuse?
Well, you know, the word abuse is a very emotionally charged word, and it gets it sets out this dichotomy, you know, this idea that there's this violent, sadistic, cruel abuse, and there's this loving spanking. And that thinking of it as two separate things has been a tremendous obstacle to understanding of this issue.
Hmm.
I think really the question is not that one. I think that what we need to realize is that what we call abuse in most cases actually was a parent's attempt to physically punish.
Mm-hmm.
And for one reason or another, and often due to just chance random factors, the child is injured, or the child falls and hits the head on the table, or the parent hit harder than they intended to, which we certainly know is a very common occurrence.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly we define that as abuse, whereas if those chance factors hadn't been present, we would have said that's discipline. And so as long as we keep these two things separate in our minds, we'll have a very hard time really making any impact on reducing child maltreatment.
So in your viewpoint, there is no spanking that is okay.
I think that that's the standard we should all aim for. And maybe I can put this law reform into a larger context. I think you've had a fantastic discussion. And what I hear is people feeling like really uncomfortable with the idea of physical punishment, but not understanding why the legislation becomes involved in all
of
this.
Yeah, I think the concern is for state intervention.
Yeah, and so maybe I can put it into some context.
Sure.
What has been happening over the last 10 years or so is that awareness has grown throughout the world at the highest levels, you know, in the United Nations and the Council of Europe and in governments mm-hmm. around the world, that violence against children is a very significant problem. It's in Canada alone, you know, more than 20,000 children a year are physically maltreated as a direct result of physical punishment. These cases are substantiated as maltreatment. And to get to that point, you know, it has to be pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
So what governments and other bodies are recognizing is the role that physical punishment and our acceptance of physical punishment plays in this problem. And what governments in many places, and in fact, a daily growing number of countries, are realizing is that you can't set out this gray area when it comes to aggression against a child.
So there can't be the tap on the bum that's different from the smack across the face.
Yeah, because it's all part of the same phenomenon. It's all part of the same way of thinking about children that they learn from being struck. So, you know, who's going to decide how much it can hurt?
But can you use a cookie cutter approach to all children? Can you say that all children shouldn't be spanked? Or are there children who, you know, I mean, as one of our callers said, you know, I was spanked, I turned out okay. I know you don't like that argument, but there it is.
Well, you know, it very well could be true that they turned out okay. But many, many children who are, you know, we use the word spanking, which is a problematic word in and of itself, but many children who are physically punished do not turn out okay. Many of mm-hmm. these children have a lot of significant difficulties through their lives. And so that's why we have to go beyond, you know, an individual experience and look at really what does this mean in the broader context. And, you know, even the word spanking, to some people, that's almost undetectable pat mm-hmm. on the bottom, and to others that involves belts and sticks and implements. So,
you know what, that's a really cool point you just made, and it just hit me now that maybe what if we called it hitting?
Yeah, and there are many people who would say spanking is not hitting, and I think that what that really highlights is how we think about this issue as something separate from every other form of aggression. If one child smacks another child, we call that bullying.
Yeah.
And we call it aggression, and we put those kids into some form of treatment. If an adult strikes their parent and because they won't eat their soup fast enough, we call that elder abuse. Mm-hmm. If a husband strikes his wife because she didn't get dinner on the table, we call that spousal violence. But when it's parent to child, and only parent to child, the neighbor can't hit my child. Mm-hmm.
When a policeman or police officer uses force, we call that justified in many cases.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
When
that.
A police officer uses force, we call that justified.
I think that's a different scenario, but I think in the parent-child relationship, this comes from a historical place, you know. It comes from a way of thinking about children as having to have the badness knocked out of them, basically. And I think that what this discussion now is doing is helping us kind of reflect on that and reflect on how we think about children. And also, I think it's really important to think about what we're doing as a society to support parents.
Mm-hmm.
One of your callers mentioned that the school that her child went to is teaching them parenting, and that's fantastic. And in some countries, that's quite the norm.
Yeah.
And I should also point out, speaking of countries again, that there are now 23 countries that have put this issue to rest by just saying, we just don't condone hitting children anymore. Right. That's, you know, it's an idea that is just, we've evolved past that. And
I know we could have a huge discussion, actually, Joan, because you've lived in Sweden, and there could be mm-hmm. a fabulous discussion about that being one of the countries that has said no to spanking.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm just going to pick your brain. I'm a mom with three kids, and I just want to know, if you can't spank, I mean, what do you do? Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
So,
yes.
So what's your best suggestion in dealing with a child who is not disciplined, not following your lead, your rules, all that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, there isn't a recipe book. There isn't, you know, you don't say, well, instead of spanking, you put them in their room or something like that.
But you're saying there is a recipe. The recipe is bad if you spank. So that's a recipe, right?
Well, you know why? Because...
No, I know why. You've told me why.
It's,
but
it's
I just want to know what you do instead.
Of its own. But there are many, many, many things that parents can do. First of all, we need to understand a lot more accurately why children do what they do. We often misread the situation, and we attribute things like defiance and, all those kinds of things to children when we may be wrong. They may actually be motivated very differently from what we think, and
mm-hmm.
so we act in anger when really, you know, we're misinterpreting the situation. We also need to think about what are our long-term goals for the child, you know, what are we trying to achieve in the long run, if I respond this way right mm-hmm. now, when I'm stressed and angry, and when I'm having a conflict, if I respond by hitting, then am I living up to the same expectations I'm setting for my child?
You've given our listeners a lot to think about, and I think that's great because that's what this program does. We get our minds going, don't we? Joan, I want to thank you for taking the time.
Well, thank you very much for involving me in this conversation.
Absolutely.
It's a very important one.
That's Joan Durant. She is a child clinical psychologist and associate professor of family social sciences at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg. She is, I should mention, the author of numerous books, including What's Wrong with Spanking? It's published by the Canadian Departments of Justice and Health. You might want to look for that. We'd like you to give us a call on our topic today. Does a state have a role in raising children? Our number is 1-888-416-8333. And I'm going to talk with Debbie Friketich from Denman Island. Did I get it right? Friketich?
Very close.
Very close. Debbie, I knew you were going to call me on that, weren't you? Go ahead, say it for me.
Debbie Friketich.
I said that, didn't I?
I know.
Friketich. Yay. Gold star.
Yeah.
You're from Denman Island, B.C., beautiful part of the world.
Yes, it is.
How's the temperature there?
Oh, gee. It's probably 23 or something.
And it's got to be raining, right?
No.
Because that's what makes all of us feel good here in Toronto.
Beautiful,
oh, it's got to be raining in B.C.
Beautiful sunshine.
Let's talk about these questions we have posed today. Not only the Senate bill being passed on spanking, anti-spanking, but also the Quebec father who was overruled when he grounded his 12-year-old daughter from going on a school trip. And the court said that's not fair. The punishment was excessive. Your thoughts?
Okay. First of all, I've been an educator for 30 years, first as a teacher and then as an elementary school principal, and I have three daughters. So that's where my comments come from. I felt that the ruling was a poor one, and for two reasons, mainly. First of all, it gives the child too much power at an age where I think they can't handle that power. I think it makes them feel that either you can't touch me, you can't make me, or I'm not having to take responsibility for my actions. And so if things don't go my way, I'm going to go running to the court system and solve our problem that way. So for that reason, I feel that the decision is a poor one. The second reason is that there are many parents who are trying to do their very best to parent their children. And when they hear of this decision, I think it makes them so afraid to discipline their own children that they feel powerless. Mm. And the children that I met throughout my years in schools that were either the most unhappy or the most difficult to deal with were the ones that were undisciplined and were really feeling unhappy because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we can't take away all of the parents' toolkit.
And maybe spanking, a tap on the bum, a tap on the hand, is just part of that toolkit that parents use and bring out when they need it.
Well, in this case, the father, as far as I know, did not hit his child in any way. It was a consequence.
It was a grounding.
Yes. And we don't know all the circumstances around this ruling. And so perhaps if we knew them all, we might feel differently. It might help us to understand the judge's ruling. But without understanding the circumstances, grounding is a fairly typical
and pretty benign, don't you think?
Yes, it is. It's a benign kind of consequence. And generally what I've found was that if a child is given love, so they know that they're loved, they're given guidelines, and then there are consequences if the child strays from those guidelines, then the child usually feels fairly secure, and they will have ups and downs, but they're not going to be terrible ups and downs.
When you talk about kids getting attitude, is that an okay word to use with you? I just want to...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When you talk about kids getting attitude, knowing that they can't be touched, if you will, where could that lead us? What are the ramifications to our society?
Well, I think that they can be dire, because then we have the worst of an immature mind coming out, where they would perhaps go as far as the other instance you talked about, where the daughter would not listen to her parents and she was involved in things that could be criminal or
dangerous to her health,
compromise her safety. And that's where I think it can lead children. I liked what the first caller had to say about there are times when we have to get our children's attention.
Yeah.
And regardless of how well they're brought up, if they don't act out sometime, they're probably not growing up normally. So there are times we have to get their attention. But generally, we want to maintain our dignity and their dignity throughout the process. And that's why a consequence is usually something that is acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Debbie, it's been great talking to you. You know what? You said you were an educator for 30 years. My dad was an educator for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he used to lecture me. It would be lecture after lecture. Sometimes I'd say to myself, just give me a smack and get it over with, will you?
Right. Well, you know, that's a that's a good point. And parenting is not easy.
No, it's not.
And the caller before me said there is no recipe book, and it's so true.
Yeah.
That they're lecturing ad nauseum is not such a good system either, maybe, and you experienced that.
Yeah. And he used to do it over dinner, so everything tasted like sawdust. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah, pretty bad. I'd say that was abuse. There you go.
Well, and not all educators do that.
Oh, Debbie, good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bill Lawrence joins us now from Victoria, B.C. Bill, you're out west there with Debbie. Maybe you know each other.
No, I don't, but we're not far.
You're not far. Okay. What do you think to our question today? Does the state have a role in raising children, sir?
Yes, I do, in the sense of it's only 100 years since we in Britain had children in the coal mines. 8-year-olds in Wales were put in the coal mines, and when they died, they were just others were put in.
Mm.
And so children were just used. And I think the government is important to point the way. Now, governments can get it wrong, but I think governments have to take a role and point in a better direction. I really agree with the last two callers.
Yeah.
And I know I was a psychologist in Montreal for many years and saw about 1,000 children, and I did research. And even 50 years ago, punishment was clearly evident. It didn't work in the psychological literature. It works if you've got a stick in the same room.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work in incorporating positive values.
You know, there was a caller who also said his father used to send him up to the room and await a spanking, which only came, you know, once in a blue moon.
Well, I don't think that solved anything. You know, with my own three children, I found that they're all very different. And when I became a single parent, the thing that helped the most was understanding each one. One is a thinker, one is like to obey the rules, and another couldn't care a darn whether I'd spanked her or not. She would spank me back.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it would have been absolutely wrong to spank the other two.
Right.
And that's what's missing, is we don't take the time to really understand the individuals that we're dealing with. We assume that there's a way for all children, and all children, there are some children it would have terrible consequences to spank, and in others it might not matter.
But Bill, while you say that government involvement has been for the better, and you brought out the case that you did, child labor, etc., are you suggesting then that each child needs to be treated distinctly, and therefore in some cases it would be okay to spank a child?
I wouldn't want to say that, because it invokes conflict. It's like war. It just invokes more aggression. It doesn't really solve anything.
So
I remember a very difficult time when I was tempted to beat up on my kids.
Yeah.
Everything was escalating, and I just felt, what I did was leave. Now, they were early teenagers. I wouldn't have done that if they were young, but I just left.
Mm-hmm.
And it resolved the situation amazingly.
Yeah.
I just left rather than succumbing to that, because it's succumbing to conflict.
Yes. Well,
it's not succumbing to love.
You are a strong-willed man.
Well, I'm old.
Well, you know, they do say older and wiser, right?
But, you know, in the background, I think there's something, one of our problems is we have children we don't always want and we're not ready for. Something like half the population aren't really wanted. Half the population is. It would be interesting to know whether the parents who really want and plan to have their children, the 50% that do, I bet they don't ever spank their kids.
I would actually like to see a study on that. So maybe you've given somebody out there an idea, but you've certainly given me some ideas. Bill Lawrence, good to have you on the show.
Thank you for being here. Bye.
That's Bill Lawrence joining us from Victoria, B.C.